In 1991, many of us were zeicher to see the disappearance of the Soviet Union. And with that was the beginning of the ingathering of the general exile of members of Klal Yisrael from that region of the world. Did you ever wonder how a miracle, without any bullets being fired, without any bloodshed, have you ever wondered how such a miracle could have ever taken place? So I'd like to give you some insight as to how the Soviet Union fell. At the end of the 1920s, when the communist suppression of Yiddishkeit began, and after that, the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Moizer sent letters to Jewish communities all over the world telling them about the closing of schools and shuls in the Soviet Union, about rabbis being exiled to Siberia, about Torah scrolls being burned in the streets, about millions of Jews being torn away from Yiddishkeit. And what advice did the Chofetz Chaim Rav Chaim Moizer give to worldwide Jewry? What was included in those letters that they sent? So there was one main piece of advice, and that advice was that people have to daven. If we daven for the closing of the Soviet Union, if we daven to allow Jews to leave the Soviet Union, then we would be zeicher, and that would eventually happen. And that's exactly what happened. Over the decades, many Jews prayed. They davened with tears. They davened from their hearts with pain and compassion for Russian Jewry, who was living in terrible misery. Decades, Jews all over the world davened and cried for their Russian Jewry trapped behind the Iron Curtain. And what happened to those millions of tefillahs? In the most miraculous and astounding way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used those tefillahs to bring down the Soviet Union. So if we want to end this long and bitter galus, we too have to remember the advice of the Chofetz Chaim or of Chaim Moizer. We have to daven. We have to daven for the geula. We have to daven for the long suffering and the pain to end. The truth is, every day in Shemoneh Esrei, we do daven. We daven in the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim that Yerushalayim and HaKadosh should be built again. We daven for the geula in the bracha of Es HaMach David. When we say, Ki Lishuas or Kivinu Kol Hayom Metzapel Lishua, we hope for your salvation all the days. And the Gemara teaches us that after each one of us have lived their 120 years on this earth, they'll have to give an account in the world to come of his actions in this world. And one of the questions that we will all be asked is, see, peace of the Yeshua, did you hope for the Yeshua? Did you truly wait and hope every day for the coming of Mashiach? And according to the Arizal, the place in davening where one hopes for the Geula is in the bracha Es HaMach David. When we say, Ki Lishuas or Kivinu Kol Hayom Metzapel Lishua. Therefore, it's very important that as much as we can to try to have kavana for the peace of the Yeshua, when we say, Ki Lishuas or Kivinu Kol Hayom Metzapel Lishua. We have to hope. We have to hope for the Geula. The truth is, we hope for many things. Some of our hopes are very intense and they're very real. We all hope to live a long and fruitful and productive life. We all hope that our children grow up happy and maximize their potential. And then there are lesser levels of hope. I remember as a child, I used to hope that my favorite team would win their ball games. And now, my children, from time to time, they hope that there's a snowstorm in the winter and they don't have to go to school. There are different levels of hope. There's a real intense hope of something that we really want to happen. And then there's a hope where we say, I hope something happens, but it's really not heartfelt. What's the level of hope that we have to have for the Geula, for Mashiach to come? How passionate must our hope be for the Geula to be here, for us to be Zeicher, to be part of that Geula? The Shulchan Aruch writes, Ro'oi l'chol yirei shamayim, it befits all heaven-fearing people. Sheyei meitzev adoyeg al churban beis hamikdash. We have to feel distressed and concerned. We have to worry that the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Rav Yonison Ivshitz explains. He says that the level of hope for the end of the Golus must be a very strong level of hope. Sarach l'hoira dima. A Jew must shed tears, me'ein hafugois, without any pause. Al binyan Yerushalayim, on the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and of Yerushalayim. Gehi tachlis shleimus anushi. That is the tachlis, the purpose of the completion of mankind. V'me'ein lonu Yerushalayim u'machos Beis David. And if we do not have Yerushalayim and the Machos Beis David, the reign of the dynasty of King David, lama lonu chayim, why do we have life? Those are very strong words. V'me'ein lonu Yerushalayim u'machos Beis David, lama lonu chayim. And that's something that was true for many members of Klal Yisrael throughout the years. At the end of World War I, many people felt, V'me'ein lonu Yerushalayim u'machos Beis David, lama lonu chayim. For sure, at the end of the Holocaust, many people felt, V'im'ein lanu Yerushalayim u'machos Beis David, lama lanu chayim. But what about today? In the opulence that we live, which is called America, Baruch Hashem, we have so many opportunities to perform mitzvahs, to learn Torah, especially in our high-tech day. There are many tzaddikim in our days and in just recent generations. Tzaddikim such as Rav Akiva Eiger, such as the Chassam Sofer, and other luminaries who live very pious lives, and they served Hashem fully without the coming of Mashiach and without the Geula. And there's no doubt that they will certainly collect their great reward in Olam Haba. Is it appropriate in nowadays to say, V'im'ein lonu Yerushalayim u'machos Beis David, lama lonu chayim? I'll give you a mashal. You have two people who want to get married. Now, of course, if he asked the Chassan and Kala, would they like to have a lavish wedding affair? Of course they would say they would. But if they can't arrange such a lavish affair, would they still get married in a small wedding ceremony? Would they then say afterwards that we have no life? Lama lanu chayim? That wouldn't be true. Of course they would be able to live a productive, long, and healthy life. So isn't that the same for us? It's true, we would love to have Mashiach, we would love to have the Beis Hamikdash, but if we can't, is it appropriate to say, Lama Lanu Chayim? We still have so many opportunities to do mitzvahs, to learn Torah, in so many different ways, in ways that are newfound ways that never existed in prior generations. So obviously, we need to have an explanation, and we need to have a greater understanding of what it means to be in Golus. And we also have to understand what it means in Emet Hashem when we'll have the Geula, when we'll have the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. So I believe the understanding is found in Parshas Lech Lecha. And it's based on what Rav Shimshon Dovin Pinkus brings down in the Sefer Golus for Nechama, page 113. In Parshas Lech Lecha we find that Avraham Avinu was worried that his merits had been consumed by his victory over the kings. So Hashem reassures Avram. Hashem tells Avram, Al tira Avram. Avram, don't be afraid. Anochi mogen loch. Schocha haba ma'od. I will protect you. Your reward is great. So what does Avram then ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Pasuk says, Vayoyma Avram. Avram said to Hashem, Hashem alikim, motitein li. What can you give me? V'anochi hoylech hariri. I am still childless. What does that mean? What did Avraham Avinu mean? So he meant that he wanted more than just a great reward. Avraham Avinu wanted a covenant with Hashem. Avraham Avinu wanted to be the nation that is connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yam HaNivcha. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond back to Avraham? The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, go outside. Count the stars and see Habet no Hashemaima, go look in the sky. Usva Kaichovim and count the stars. Imtucha lispa oisim, if you can count them. Bayoimaloi koye zaracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with Avraham Avinu. You don't want reward? I'll give you something else. I'll give you your covenant. You will be my nation. And afterwards, what does the Pasuk say? Bayoimala Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says to Avraham, Yodoya Teda, you need to know. You're going to be a stranger in a land that does not belong to you. You're going to have to work and you're going to have to suffer for 400 years. Rav Shimshon Dovin Pinkus offers the following parable as an explanation. You have two people that are partners. They establish a business, and they hire workers to help them out. Even if the business falls on hard times, and if the business does not turn a handsome profit, the workers will still be paid their wages. The workers will still have money in their pockets at the end of their day. They'll still be paid for their labor. But what about the owners? The owners, although confident of their future financial reward, they will be unable to draw a regular salary. And together, the two partners, they must ride out the storm. They must survive on a meager subsistence, and they must be unable to enjoy the same comforts as their workers. That is the difference between being a worker and between being an owner. So Hashem tells Avram, do not fear that your merits have been consumed by your victory over the kings. I am willing to give you great wages. Wages for your good deeds. As the Pasuk says, don't be afraid. Your reward is very great. What does Avram Avinu respond? Avram says, no. I want more than to be just a worker. I want to be a full-fledged partner. I want to have a covenant, and I want to be your nation. And if that's true, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a condition. And the condition is that you have to suffer with me. When I go into Golus, you too have to suffer. You have to feel the pain of that Golus. Because partners feel for each other. When a couple agree to marry, there are many issues that must be discussed, that must be agreed upon. Their purpose in raising a family is for the present time. It's not only for the future, when the children will be able to say Kaddish for their deceased parents. And when they discuss working hard to establish the successful business, it is to reap benefits today. It's not just to save money, to put money aside for their future retirement. Rather, they're joining as one. They're primarily living a life together. Each spouse thinking of the other's needs and desires. Each spouse promising to love the other regardless of the difficulties and challenges that life has in store for them. Pinchas explains that Judaism is the exact same way. If we live our life as a Jew, as a worker of Hashem, only to collect great wages from Hashem for the good deeds, for the mitzvahs, no, that's not the deal. That's not what we agreed upon. Our arrangement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not to be just a worker and an employee. Our arrangement is to have a covenant. Our agreement was to feel the pain that our partner HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in Golus. And if his face and hand is hidden, then we have to suffer and feel that pain. The Rambam makes a beautiful analogy between the love and feeling that one must have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he makes an analogy to a husband who is lovesick for his wife. The Lashon of the Rambam is, V'ketzed hi ahava haru'uyahu, sheyev es Hashem. What is the type of love that is appropriate that one must love Hashem? Says the Rambam, that love is an ahava gedoyla yaseira ozma oid. It's a very great love. It's a very strong love. Venimsa, says the Rambam, shoyga batomid, that we have to think of our love and we have to think of Hashem constantly. Ki'ilu, it is as if choyla choyli ahava. It's as if we're lovesick. She'ein da'atoi p'nuya me'avas oise isha. It's as if we can't take our mind off of that woman that we want to marry. That's how much we love her. For who shoyga batomid, we think of her constantly. Bein b'shiftoi, when we're sitting. Bein b'kumei, when we're standing. Bein b'shoa shuhu oichol v'shoise, when we're eating and drinking. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comparable to an intimate relationship. It's an intimate relationship between husband and wife. It's an intimate relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Imagine if a boss makes a wedding. Your boss makes a wedding and you are a worker. And the boss also has family members who are coming to this wedding. What table will the worker sit at? And what table will the close family members sit at? There's no doubt that the workers will be sitting in the back by the band, you know, table 55, in the back of hundreds of people, hardly being able to be part of the simcha, hardly being able to see the chosan and kala and the boss who is sitting at the front of the hall. The close family members, on the other hand, they'll be up front because they're living together as a close family member with the boss. To them, it's not just the boss, it's someone that they feel for. It's someone that they think of, and therefore they're zoyeh to sit in the front tables together with the close family members. Similarly, a person who is satisfied, and Mashiach will come eventually, but not now. If Mashiach, I'm happy if it comes in a future generation. That person is not fulfilling the example of a good husband and wife bonding together to enhance their present lives. And our covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is epitomized by the principles of Judaism, which requires that we live with Hashem in the present day. And therefore, in times of Golus, when times are tough, when Hashem is in anguish over this long and bitter Golus, when His face and His hand is hidden from the global scene, we must endure along with them and share His suffering like a good spouse who internalizes her partner's torment and attempts to alleviate it in any possible way. There's a story with Rav Mendel of Rimonov, who was once walking with his Hasidim, and he noticed a child sitting behind the tree and crying. So the Rebbe asked, "Why are you crying, my child?" And the child replied, "We're playing hide and seek, and it's my turn to hide." So the Rebbe asked the crying child, "Is that a reason to cry?" So the child looked up at the Rebbe and started to wail, "I'm hiding, but no one is looking for me. No one is interested in finding me." So the Rebbe turned to his Hasidim and exclaimed, "Do you hear? Do you all hear what this child is saying? No one is looking for me. No one is interested in finding me." That is the way Hashem feels in this long and bitter galus. And even in the opulence called America, with Baruch Hashem, we have so much. We have so much of materialism. And we also have much in the way of spirituality, in the way of ruchnius. We have to do our part to help completely release the hidden Shechina from its hiding place in this long and bitter galus. So how does one develop the desire to truly yearn for this essential principles of Judaism while living in America? How do we sensitize ourselves to what we're missing? So the Gemara tells us, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana, smart one, Chatoif v'echol, grab and eat. Chatoif v'ishti, grab and drink. Why? The Alma the Ozlinim Minei. Because the world that we are passing through is Kihilula Dami, it's just like a wedding. So the simple explanation is that he was telling his Talmud, Shmuel was telling Rav Yehuda, that be a smart one and grab all the Torah and the mitzvahs you can while you're living your short stay in this world, which is as fleeting as a wedding. But there's another insight. And the other insight is what we're talking about. Life is like a wedding in another sense. A wedding is food and drink, music and dancing. But if you're a smart one, you'll be thinking of the mitzvah of rejoicing with the chosen and the kala with the wedding couple. And therefore, even the eating and the drinking will be a mitzvah. At the end of Shemoneh Esrei, after a person has requested his wisdom for Das, and his health in Rifa'enu, and his livelihood in Baruch Aleinu, at the end of the davening, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Asei Laman Shemecha. What does that mean? Asei Laman Shemecha means, do for your name. So Rav Tzadik HaKoyin explains that just as with the Torah, we have many mitzvahs that involves physical and material things. We eat matzah on Pesach. We sit in a sukkah and we shake a lulav and an esrog on sukkahs. On Shabbos we eat three seudos. The roots of those physical actions which we perform, the roots of those is in the pinnacle of the world. Because when we eat on Shabbos and when we eat matzah on Pesach, we are fulfilling Hashem's will, and that is a mitzvah. And therefore, says Rav Tzadik, when one requests material things in davening, and he is zeicha, he merits to receive them, that also has its roots in the pinnacle of the world, because everything in this world was created for us to enjoy. As the Pasuk says, Vayaru lekim es kol asher asa v'hine tov ma'od. Living a life together with Hashem does not mean that we have to suffer. It does not mean that we can't enjoy all the wonderful things that God created for us to enjoy. Because the Pasuk says, V'hinei tov ma'od, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes that these things are good. Rather, it means that when we enjoy these material wealth that we have here in America, we have to enjoy those with Hashem in mind. That when we're doing it in order to be able to fulfill mitzvahs. There's a story with Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, who almost never slept on a bed, to minimize the amount of sleep to have more time to study Torah. And Rav Elimelech of Lezhinsk once visited him and saw that Rav Shmelka was exhausted. When Rav Elimelech begged him to sleep in a bed, he agreed. And when he woke up, Rav Shmelka and Rav Elimelech sat down to study a difficult section in the Gemara. Rav Shmelka realized that his mind was fresher now that he slept. And he commented, "I see that by sleeping one can also serve Hashem." And this is definitely true at the end of days. The Achras Hayom that we are now living in. The Gemara tells us that at the end of time, Hashem will announce, "Let all those who have acted properly come and take the reward." And the Gemara tells us that the kingdom of Edom will step forward and make their claim. And what will they say to Hashem? Why should they be rewarded? They'll say, "Haba Shavakim, we made many marketplaces. Haba Machatsoyis Osinu, we made many bathhouses. Haba Kesev Azov Hirbenu, we had a lot of silver and gold. V'kulam lo Yosinu El Bishvil Yisrael, we did all these things for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Why? Kadesh Yisasku B'Torah. So they should be able to learn Torah. They should busy themselves with the study of Torah." So the Gemara tells us, what will Hashem's response be? The Gemara said, "Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shaitim sheba'olam, you foolish ones," Hashem said, "to all the kingdoms of the world, kol ma she'asisem, everything that you did, l'tzarech asmachem asisem, you did it for yourselves, the shvakim, the marketplaces, the merechatzoyes, the bathhouses, la'adein behem asmachem, you did it for yourself to enjoy." So the obvious question is, why did Hashem say to them, "Foolish ones, isn't that a bit odd? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have said that you're lying. You are saying a sheker, shakronim. You're not shoitim. There are people that are lying by saying that they did these things for Klal Yisrael." And the answer is, in the Priyat Tzadik says, Rav Tzadik HaKoyin, that the actions really did benefit Klal Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we benefit from computers, which the Goyim made. We benefit from airplanes, from cars, from everything high-tech. All the wonderful inventions. Jews do benefit. And therefore, if we benefited, then they who created it, they should be able to claim their reward. So they're not lying. However, they're foolish. Because they stake their claim in the fact that they did this for our benefit. And we know the truth is that they did it for themselves. But if they would be able to have claimed their reward, if their intent would have been for Klal Yisrael, then we definitely, if we enjoy what life has to offer, if we enjoy all the high-tech machinery and equipment and all the wonders of the world, if we use it, and we enjoy it, but we have in mind that we're doing it, to allow ourselves some time off for vacation, to get ourselves to shul quicker, we can daven and learn Torah, to use cars and computers to do chesed and listen to shiurim in our cars and on our computers. If that's our intent, then all these things are mitzvahs. And in fact, this concept is required of each and every one of us. The Rambam tells us, Tzarech ha'odom sheyechaven liboy v'chol ma'isov, kulam leidas Hashem yizbarach bilvad. A person is required to have in his heart, to have in mind that all his actions should be to know Hashem. V'yeh shiftoi v'kumoi, his resting and his going, v'diburoi and his communication. Hakol l'umazeh, it should be all for this purpose. It's like anything. We're allowed to enjoy it. But if the reason why we're doing it is mainly to serve Hashem, to give us the strength and the koyach, and we should feel that we're able to serve Hashem now that we're well rested, then that's considered to be a mitzvah. Last week, my wife came back from Eretz Yisrael. She went to visit my two married children that are learning in Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's no doubt my wife wanted to take a vacation, and there's no doubt that she loves Eretz Yisrael, and there's no doubt that she wanted to see the Mekoymus HaKadoshim and her family members, other people than the two children that I have living in Eretz Yisrael, or relatives. But when she went, her main goal was to go for the children. She went to see them, to see the grandchildren, to bring them things that they needed. And because of that, her trip is considered to have been for the benefit of the kids, although she enjoyed herself. It's the same thing with us. After 120 years, when we conclude our mission here on earth, when all the mitzvahs are tallied up in Shemayim, and when they're going to tell us, when the great day of reckoning is upon us, exactly what we fulfilled, which mitzvahs did we do, which mitzvahs did we perform over here on this earth, I hope, Emet Hashem, will be surprised that even the times that we pursued our own needs, even the times we took a ride in a car, we took vacations and we slept, even those times will be listed amongst the mitzvahs that we did. Why? Because we were thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we did all those things, it was Asei Laman Shemecha. When we asked Hashem, give us all the bountiful, all the blessings, and all the brachas that we want, all the good things, it was for the purpose of Asei Laman Shemecha. And that is what we mentioned in the Rambam. V'hu shoyga batomet bein b'shiftoi ben mekumoi. A person has to think about Hashem constantly, whether he's resting, whether he's going, bein b'shoa shuhu oichel v'shoyse, even when we're eating and drinking. And not only that, that's not the only benefit that we'll get closer to Hashem. We'll be able to live thinking of Hashem in everything that we do. There's another added benefit. The Sifsei Chaim explains that when a person wants and asks Hashem for Ruchnius, when he asks Hashem for Ruchnius, his tefillahs are answered. But what happens when we ask for Gashmias? Said the Sifsei Chaim a remarkable thing. He says, Shagam Sarcha Olam Hazeh, even the needs that we ask Hashem for Olam Hazeh, for this world, Shehu Mavakesh Bitfilosei, that he asks, he requests in his tefillahs, Heim Yasham Shuloi, he can use them, Kekalim, like a vehicle, Shlemis Bavoidis Hashem, to gain completion in the service of God. Va'af Bakoshet Sarachim, and even the request for your personal needs, for your livelihood, for nachas, for anything that you want in this world. Eluhem nechlolim, these are included. But divrei hagoin Rabbi Yisrael Salante, shetfila al ruchnias miskabelas. Isn't that wonderful? Not only do we benefit that we live together with Hashem, thinking always of Hashem. Not only do we benefit that we will be fulfilling our covenant with God in together suffering at the time when Hashem is in Golus together with us, when his hand and his face is hidden from the global scene. But if we daven for our personal needs in such a way, with that intent, Asei Laman Shemecha, Hashem, give us the things that we're asking, so we can serve you better, then we have a greater chance of having our tefillahs answered in Shemayim. So we have to feel what we're missing. If we're doing mitzvahs, which is wonderful that we're doing it for the schar as a starting point, but we have to know that we have to go beyond that. That we have to want to do mitzvahs because, not just to get to schar, because we're thinking of Hashem. We feel for the Hashem's difficulty, so to speak, that Hashem's face and hand is hidden in Golus. And we have to feel that together with Hashem. We have to feel that so-called misery. Imagine if everyone started to live their lives this way. Imagine coming into shul and not hearing a pin drop, because everyone is thinking 24/7, literally, even when we go to sleep, they were doing it for the purposes of serving Hashem. And could you imagine if we lived such a life? I would think that there wouldn't be any sinas chinam, there wouldn't be any baseless hatred, which we are told is what caused the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because a person who lives his life thinking of doing everything, Laman Ratzon Hashem, for the fact that Hashem wills it, there's no place for sinas chinam in such a life. There's no place for someone to have hatred for somebody else. And based on that, we can be zoicha, imit Hashem, to have the coming of the Beis HaMikdash and the end of the Golus. There was a story about the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was heartbroken. This was in 1930, over the terrible plight of the Jews in Russia, as we mentioned. So one Shabbos, with his students and family gathered around him, the Chofetz Chaim began to speak. And he said that there's only one hope. Mashiach has to come, and it must happen sooner rather than later. but it is up to us to hasten the arrival of Mashiach. The Chofetz Chaim continued that if people are indifferent, then it is our duty to arouse them to cry out and to daven for the final redemption. So the Chofetz Chaim was so upset. So he announced that he was going to go to Rav Chaim Oizer in Vilna to discuss what we can do. When as old and feeble as the Chofetz Chaim was, he insisted to his family that he must take the risk of life to go to incite Klal Yisrael to daven for the Geula. So when they asked the Chofetz Chaim, is it something that you must undertake now? So he explained with the story of the Beis Halevi. When the Beis Halevi was invited by the Jews of Brisk to become their Rav, he initially steadfastly refused, and they pleaded with him, "Rebbe, 25,000 Jews are waiting for you. How can you disappoint them?" So of course the Beis Halevi had no choice and he accepted. Said the Chofetz Chaim, "Can we imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is less sensitive than the Beis Halevi? Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not disappoint the millions of Jews if they daven with heart for the end of the Golus and the coming of the Geula." To the Chofetz Chaim, the power of Tefillah, the power of our Tefillah, was as real as the power of an army. The Chofetz Chaim knew that if the troops would rally their strength and take up their arms, which is Tefillah, then the tide of battle can definitely be reversed, and we can bring the Geula. Imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent invitations to each and every one of us, inviting us to the Geula. Those that would be serving Hashem like a worker, we would be sitting in the back, all the way in the back of all the members of Klal Yisrael, waiting for the Geula to arrive. And all who would be living as a close relative to Hashem, thinking always of Hashem, trying to enhance Hashem's presence, by thinking of whatever we're doing, whether it's Ruchnius, whether it's Gashmius, that we're doing it for the sake of God, we would be like the close relative of Hashem. We would be sitting in the front waiting for the Geula, for Mashiach to arrive. And that is the message. The message is that if we want to bring the Geula, we have to feel what we're missing. And what we are missing, even though we can perform so many wonderful mitzvahs, is that we have to live together with Hashem. We have to think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to come closer. We have to fulfill our covenant that we are partners with Hashem. And if we daven with that feeling, and if we live our life with that thought, then Emet Hashem will be zeicha to the bringing of the Geula and to the end of the long and bitter Golus.